Welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by SUNY Upstate Medical University, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. This is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. Dr. Robbie Seletsky joins us in the studio this morning. Good morning, Dr. Seletsky.
Good morning, Tricia.
And welcome back. It's been a long time since we heard from
you
the last time. And actually, one of our conversations, I just love this conversation, virtual reality. Tell us what it is you do.
Well, I'm a clinical psychologist, and I help people with anxiety disorders, among other problems. And one of the things that we've purchased in our department is a virtual reality program, which is a 3D simulated program where we can actually help people approach the things that they fear, which is fears are associated with multiple anxiety disorders. Panic disorder, phobias, and post-traumatic stress disorder.
Those kinds of things. And what I remember from our conversation, actually it's been almost 2 years ago, mm-hmm. you talked about different programs you had for people who had a fear of flying in airplanes, they had a fear of heights, public speaking. But this is virtual reality, so describe to us exactly what you mean by that.
Well, traditionally how we've helped people with fears is by having them imagine in a hierarchical fashion, in a graded order, the situations that they fear the most, and they gradually approach them instead of avoiding them.
Okay.
And they can do that in imagination, and they can do that in real life. As an intermediate step, now we have a way for patients to put on goggles that allow them to immerse themselves into a 3D world that also helps them in a controlled way approach the things that they fear the most.
So this is like an Uber video game.
It is. It's 3D. It's multi-sensory. They can hear. They can feel. They can touch. Seats vibrate. They
oh my
can
gosh.
Hear, you know, airplanes taking off, voices.
And so they feel as if they are really in that situation, but they know intellectually that they are not?
They know intellectually that they are not. They know that they're in my office, which helps them want mm-hmm. to approach this. On the other hand, when you have a phobia or a tremendous fear of one kind or another, it doesn't take very much to elicit the anxiety, which is what we're looking for.
And elicit the anxiety, what? They start to sweat?
They start to have all the physical symptoms of anxiety, sweating, feeling faint sometimes. Dizzy.
Sick
to your stomach, butterflies in their stomach, all of those physiological sensations, which we want them to have so mm-hmm. that they can learn that, in fact, these settings are not truly dangerous. Probability-wise, they're not truly dangerous. And so even in a virtual exposure setting, they can learn to acclimate to their anxiety. In mm-hmm. other words, it comes down over time, and that's a tremendous learning experience for them.
I have to think that it would be. Now, when you were here a couple of years ago, these programs were quite new, and you had tried them out, and you'd used them on a few patients. 2 years later?
2 years later, it's fantastic.
Is it?
I've had tremendous success, especially with fear of flying and fear of public speaking.
Really?
Within 12 to 16 sessions, people are doing so much better, and there is a carryover to real life.
There is. And that's the important part.
Exactly.
I mean, to be able to sit there with the virtual reality and survive it is very different from actually sitting in an airplane, for instance. And
it's different, but the idea is that we're doing it in a prolonged way over and over and over again. So by the time someone leaves treatment with me, they're feeling much more confident about approaching real life. And between our sessions, they're also doing things in real life to help.
They are. This is as opposed to what, talk therapy or say drug therapy? Or, I mean, if you have the virtual reality, that's a form of treatment. Before that existed, how did you help people?
Well, before that existed, someone would come into my office, and if they weren't ready to go out in real life and face their fears in a graded way, we would do it in their imagination. So we would create a fear hierarchy together, starting from something that's the least fearful mm-hmm. all the way to the top, say mm-hmm. fear of flying. Maybe their top fear would be going in an airplane. So we would start off with them imagining approaching the airport or planning their trip by making a phone call
mm-hmm.
and then gradually building up to it in their imagination
mm-hmm.
while also giving homework assignments to do things in real life.
Okay.
Sometimes I would accompany them. Sometimes they can do things on their own or with a support person.
And does the virtual reality, the introduction of that approach, does that shorten the time span from when they actually come to you to when they're actually ready to get in that airplane, for instance?
I think it depends. I think for some people, the pace can be very quick. I had one woman who she had a trip coming up in 2 weeks.
Oh, gosh.
And we met twice a week for 2 weeks, and she was able to get on the airplane.
Oh, wow.
It doesn't mean that she didn't have any anxiety, but she certainly didn't get into a panic mode.
But she faced it.
She faced it.
She faced it.
She faced it. And so if you think about it, you can't always repeat those kinds of experiences in real life. Like someone couldn't go on, you know, 10 flights prepping
sure.
for the real flight.
Sure.
So virtually we can do something over and over again. Or if there's a specific thing that they're fearful of, say takeoff,
mm-hmm.
we can do that repetitively over.
Oh my gosh.
Within a course of a session, I might do it 20 times with someone.
Oh my gosh, that's fabulous.
And, I'm measuring their anxiety level by requesting,
sure.
you know, levels, say out of 100, what's your anxiety level? And we can actually see it come down.
That is fascinating. Now, you have a new form of virtual reality therapy, and I find this fascinating and exciting and wonderful. Tell us about it.
Well, the new form is, we call it Virtual Iraq,
okay.
And it's a virtual program for combat vets coming back with post-traumatic stress disorder. And post-traumatic stress disorder is another form of an anxiety disorder where people are characteristically avoiding any cues that remind them of their trauma episode.
And talk to us about what those cues would be.
Cues could be in everyday life, darkness. They could be loud sounds. They could be smells that remind them and take them back to that feared memory.
Mm-hmm.
They're also doing a lot of avoidance of thinking about the trauma. They're having intrusive thoughts, say flashbacks of little snippets of their trauma. And they're totally geared to avoiding all kinds of cues that remind them of that trauma.
Putting more energy into avoidance.
Into avoidance,
than to just
exactly.
getting on with life.
Right, numbing, wanting to numb their emotions because they're also having lots of anxiety.
Oh, numbing, and that would involve, of course, alcohol.
It could involve
drugs.
Alcohol, drugs, just detachment,
mm-hmm.
Just kind of living life as a zombie,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of just going through the motions, feeling depressed, staying home a lot, isolated. So it's very debilitating. And they're estimating now that between 15% and 30% of our vets, our young vets, are coming back with post-traumatic
wow.
stress disorder.
And so now you've developed this virtual reality program to help them get past the PTSD?
Well, I haven't developed it, but
okay.
other people at the University of Southern California have developed it,
mm-hmm.
and it's wonderful. And we are the only place in Central New York area that has it now. And it's just getting started. Vets that are coming back that have been diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder.
From anywhere. It doesn't have to be Iraq.
From anywhere. It doesn't have to be Iraq, Afghanistan. In the past, there have been programs that have been developed for Vietnam vets.
Yes.
But really, we could tailor the approach to any returning vet.
Okay. And how do they do that? So say there's a vet out there or a loved one of a vet. You know, they've come back. They've got this post-traumatic stress. They're doing all the things you talked about, avoiding it in
mm-hmm.
some way or and becoming almost antisocial in trying to do all of that. They don't know how to deal with their anxiety. The last thing in the world they want is to start meeting with somebody on a, weekly basis or biweekly basis to talk about it. I mean, they're
right.
really avoiding it. So how do you make the sell to them
mm-hmm.
that this is a good thing for them to do?
Well, that's a good question because the rationale and fully understanding the rationale and consenting to the treatment is the biggest part of what we do.
Sure.
It's counterintuitive. If something's distressing and upsetting to someone, why would you want to face
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
And that's what we're having people do. The key to that is to have them fully understand that avoidance ultimately perpetuates their fear and anxiety. The hallmark of post-traumatic stress disorder is having the flashbacks and bits and pieces of memory. So when we have patients review their memories in a systematic, safe environment,
mm-hmm.
They actually get to put their memories into context, and they gain more control over their memories as opposed to the memories having control of them.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And so there's that. There's also the idea that memories in and of themselves are not dangerous, although they're reacting as though
right.
the memory
Yeah, because
is
physically
dangerous.
They would have a reaction.
They're having all the physical reactions.
Just
they're feeling
like when they were there.
Exactly. And also, they're having distorted ideas about their memories. They're thinking that they can't control them, that they that they're dangerous, that
mm-hmm.
the world is dangerous, that this could happen again. They're reacting as though all of those beliefs are true.
And so what you're really doing is giving them tools to learn to cope with them
exactly
and understand that they're safe even though they're having those
memories.
Safe
even though they're having the memories, they're in my office, they're not in combat currently, mm-hmm. That the world in general is a safe place, okay. although they experience trauma. Mm-hmm. The generalizations that they're making are mm-hmm. inaccurate. And they get to see that not by avoiding, but by approaching life.
So who is the perfect candidate? And I know you're looking for combat people who've come back who want to go through this with
exactly.
you. And I imagine you've, contacted Fort Drum and the VA and so
We've
forth?
We've contacted all of those places, and the programming is in the works, and mm-hmm. we're negotiating to see what we can do for them.
Excellent. So if people want to get in touch with you, you have a phone number they can call?
They should call me directly at 315-464-3115.
Excellent. So we will make sure that we put that on our website as well. And listeners should know that we also have linked a video of your virtual reality for the plane flights, so they'll enjoy looking at that. Well, Dr. Robbie Seletsky, thanks so much for coming by this morning. And listeners, we are going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a few moments. Please stay with us. This is Upstate Medical University's HealthLink on air on 570 WSYR.